presents Raise a Love with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Leighton Brown, Rosalind Knight, and starring Ted Ray.
Well, there's the table laid for breakfast. And as usual, my teeny genius is late again this morning. And such a lovely morning it is for this time of the year, too.
I see the papers haven't arrived. The post is late. You must have deliberately hidden my back stud. My shaving water was tepid, and I don't suppose you've even started to cook the breakfast.
Well, good morning, my sudden ray of sunshine. And now, if you're through complaining, your breakfast is on the table.
Ah, yes, and I might have known it's getting stone cold.
Well, what would you want me to do with your cornflakes? Grill them?
You're going all out to provoke me, aren't you? You must have got out of bed the wrong side this morning or something.
I got out of bed the wrong side?
Yes.
Well, that's just great. I was perfectly happy. It was you that started all the rowing.
Now, look, don't twist things, dear. Come along. I haven't got a lot of time.
Well, you would have if you got out of bed a bit earlier. You just lie there hugging that alarm clock and madly eyeing that second hand.
Why not? It's a second-hand clock.
Well, that should be the post. I'll get it.
And about time, too. It's half an hour late. It seems I'm doomed to be surrounded by inefficiency.
Well, there's quite a lot this morning, darling. Oh, good. I see the council has finally agreed to my argument regarding the right-of-way at the end of our garden. Oh, and Ted, look. The Women's Institute has decided that I will make the opening address when Professor Hines talks to us on nuclear fission with lantern slides.
When you've quite finished with your trivial correspondence, I see there's one there addressed to me. Do you mind? Thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, well.
Well, what is it, Ted? Is it important?
Of course it's important. That's why it's addressed to me. Listen to this. Dear member, we take this opportunity to remind you that your subscription to the Roy Rogers Fan Club is overdue. Yours sincerely, your old pal Trigger. There's a clever horse.
I bet that gets paid before the rates. Oh, look, darling, here's a letter for Mother.
Yes, I thought I recognized the printing.
Yeah, Ted.
Don't tell me it's another threatening letter. She's threatening to come and stay with us.
Now, Ted, please. She says she might look in and see us next week.
Well, that'll give us time to do a moonlight.
Yeah, will you stop it? What is it with you? Right now, she's with my sister. She's gone to Gray's in Essex.
She probably prefers the grass there.
Yeah, Ted! Now, look here.
No. I'm sorry, darling. I didn't mean to laugh at your mother's expense.
Well, now that's better. I should think. Wait a minute. I heard that.
Did you? Yes. You were listening, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
You always are, yes. Yeah.
Incidentally, what good has your mother ever done us, apart from stopping away?
Oh, I thought we'd get to this relations business,
that's
yes.
It.
You never have liked my mother, have you?
No, I haven't.
You're getting just like my father. Well, I've got no more time to argue. I've got to get off to the office.
Incidentally, darling, there's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ted, when are you going to start smartening yourself up? You never see Fred Potter going off to the office in an old sports jacket with leather elbows.
Fred Potter. And his bowler hat. And his striped trousers. It's only a front. You want to see the washing round the back? I wouldn't be seen out in his comms.
Ted, is that a promise?
Yes, it's a promise. You see, they're all slaves to convention.
Yes.
There's no individuality amongst any of them. Mm-hmm. Talk about the 8:30 penguin parade. Oh, Kitty, that's not for me. Now I must be going.
That's right. Goodbye, Ted.
This duffel coat is just a thing. It rather sets my cap off.
Mm-hmm.
I should worry what other people think. It's what I think that counts.
Yes.
Now, for the last time, goodbye, dear.
Darling, just a minute. I'll say this for you, Ted. If nothing else, you certainly are casual. Right down to your odd socks.
Odd socks?
Mm-hmm.
Odds bodkins. I can't go out like this. What would Fred Potter think? Now I am going to be late again. Good morning, Gloria.
Certainly has been, Mr. Ray.
Well, I suppose I'd better get on with something. After all play and no work will make Ted a dull boy. Hello? What are all these notices on the board here? Get a load of this one. For the attention of all office staff. And Ray. How about that?
Oh, I can explain those, Mr. Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tumble is having an efficiency campaign. He considers the staff have been getting lax.
Oh, he does he? Mm. Well, this is going too far. Look at this one. All rude postcards received during the summer holidays must be taken down by September the 1st. And this one. The adding machines will not be used to work out football permutations.
And, have you seen the third one, Mr. Ray?
Well, that is the limit, isn't it? The old spoil sport. Fancy putting the filing room out of bounds to courting couples. What is Trumbull trying to do? Ruin the office?
Well, Mr. Ray, he certainly has some revolutionary ideas.
So have I, but what's the good of that now the filing room's out of bounds? Let's face it, Gloria. What room is there under a typewriter cover?
Oh, Mr. Ray, how terribly daredevil of you!
Ray, step into my office a minute.
Coming, sir. Coming, Mr. Trumbull.
Close the door, Ray. What I have to say mustn't be overheard.
It's my rise. It's my rise. I don't blame you for wanting to keep it a secret. After all, you've kept it a secret from me for years. I'll certainly shut the door, Mr. Trumbull. Why should the underlings know my affairs? There we are, all nice and cozy. Now, go ahead with the good news. Fire away.
Don't tempt me, Ray. What I have to say has nothing to do with money. As you probably noticed, I'm making a few changes in the office. Slovenly dress is going to be one of them.
Oh, good. Well, I wear my old things tomorrow, then.
I wasn't thinking of introducing slovenly dress, Ray. Ah. Look at you. You look as though you just come straight from your allotment.
Please, Mr. Trumbull, I have not got an allotment. I have not got one. An overgrown window box, yes. But not, sir, an allotment, sir.
Then all I can say is, Ray, that you must be doing a bit of jobbing gardening on your way here.
Jobbing gardening?
And heaven knows you'll give yourself time enough.
Trumbull, Trumbull. If you're not satisfied with the time of my arrival every morning and the way I dress, just say so.
I am not satisfied with the time of your arrival or the way you dress.
You mimic. You can't think of anything original yourself, can you?
Oh, better.
Well, that's an improvement.
I'm tapping my fingers, Ray. And for the last time, will you keep your gob shut?
Black master.
Now, look, from now on, all the male members of this firm will be dressed as follows.
Yes.
During the hours of work, morning coat, wing collar, and striped trousers. Bowler hats will be worn at all times to and from the office.
I hope that spats are going to be optional on warm days. You can't do this, Mr. Trumbull. I refuse to be another penguin. Dressed like that, I should look like an undertaker's assistant.
Well, dressed as you are, Ray, you look like an undertaker's client.
You were in there a bit sharpish, weren't you? Yes, you were. Just supposing I do decide to wear this outfit anyway. Only supposing, mind you. Mm-hmm. Where do you think the money's coming from, eh? Just work that out.
That's all been attended to, Ray. We pay for your suit, etc., etc., etc. And a reasonable amount will be deducted from your salary every week.
So that's it. We've finally arrived at it. The moment of truth. Well, you can't get away with it. I am not going to be dictated to as to how I dress and where I dress.
Is that so, Ray?
That's so.
Well, I will dictate to you as to how you should dress. As to when you dress, well, that's strictly a matter between you and your alarm clock.
Now listen, sir.
You will proceed in your lunch hour to this address and get measured.
And you can get...
I can get what, Ray?
Measured. Measured as well. Mr. Trumbull, I don't know what Kitty's going to say when she finds out about this.
Ah, good morning, good morning, good morning. Basil Butterfield at your service. What?
Basil, I've been sent here from Trumbull and Company, and get this straight, it isn't my idea.
Basil knows all of our dent. You want a burla hatties and spatties for going out tatties. Now, first of all, we'll try this burla on for size, shall we?
Where are you? It's dark in here.
There they are. Number 9 nutties. Lots of brimmies on shoulders there, what? But still, Basil can alter that. There.
That's very clever. I could have cut 2 eye holes in it. I look like a traveler from the Ku Klux Klan.
Yes, well, perhaps you're right. Now, Basil will pull the blindies down and stop the peeping Tommies. Now, come along, Mr. Ray. Off with the dungarees.
Dungarees? How very dare you, Basil. You are referring to my flannels.
Really?
Yes.
Then they must be house flannels. What about that one, eh? Basil's just made a funny.
So did Basil's mummy. I shall fly at you in a minute.
Now, do come along, please. Let me pop you into the stripy trousers. Now, on with the black morning coat and the bowler hat.
Will there be anything else?
Yes, you can direct me to the soft furnishings. Oh, I do beg your pardon, but the transformation is quite remarkable, you know. Now, what about your old clothes? Shall I pop them in the incinerator?
What are you talking about, Butterfield? I'm keeping those. You needn't think for one moment. I'm walking home in this lot. You can put these things in a cardboard box. A plain one, please.
Yeah, yes. Well, very well, then. Now, just a nice little naughty here, with a little loopy for the finger.
It's not the only thing that's a little loopy around here, is it?
Well, do come and see Basil again. If you happen to be passing next week, do look in. I'm expecting a consignment of cardboard cafes and plastic dickies. What?
That's great. That is great. That's really made my day. And you must drop the line if ever you get any polythene spats in. Bye-bye, Basil.
Bye-bye.
Ted, you still haven't told me what's in the cardboard box. Can't I have a teeny-weeny peek?
Oh, it's nothing important, Kitty.
Now, Ted, I've lived with you long enough to know you're little subterfuges. And again, sometimes I think I've just lived with you long enough.
Thank you.
I've got it. I know. It's a box of secondhand fireworks.
Please, Kitty, dear. Secondhand fireworks. Give me some credit, secondhand fireworks. What kind of a fool would buy those?
Well, I was thinking of last year, Ted.
Yes. Well, that was different, but you don't get me being caught a second time.
No?
I'm not born every minute, or something like that.
I know, darling. Ted?
Yes, dear?
What's in the cardboard box, dearest?
Look, darling, I'm sorry, but this is the one time when I can't tell you.
No?
I honestly can't. It's only to do with the office.
Oh, so that's it, the
yes,
office.
That's it.
I should have guessed. It's a present for Gloria. No wonder you never buy any new clothes. You're busy keeping her in frilleries, fripperies, and fineries.
Well, that's broken your upper set in, isn't it?
Upper set, nothing. Now, you listen to me. How can you treat me like this, Ted? Haven't I been a loving wife to you all these years?
Well...
Now, honestly, darling, did I raise one little objection when beer went up and you canceled my weekly magazine?
No, I must admit you were very tolerant then. But I did thank you at the time,
yes,
didn't I?
And did I once complain, even once now, Ted, when I asked you for a new pair of bedroom slippers and you put Blakey's on my old ones? Now, did I?
No, I admit you didn't. And neither did I when they kept me awake at night.
Well, Ted.
Yes, dear?
What's in the cardboard box?
Oh! You know, you are being very difficult, Kitty. I just can't tell you. It would sort of betray a confidence.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Well, in that case, Ted Ray, you can go to your Gloria and take your old cardboard box with you, and I hope all three of you will be very happy.
Now, I'm in a mess now, and it's all Trumbull's fault. But I just can't let Kitty see that office uniform. I'm dreading tomorrow morning. Fancy having to leave the house looking like little Lord Fauntleroy. Kitty's still not happy about this cardboard box any more than I am. But I'm not going to be the laughing stock of Enders Be Crescent. All I've got to do now is find somewhere to change before I get to the office. Ah, this is it, a secluded GPO telephone box. In I go, just take my duffel coat over the door, and I'm well away. Get these flannels off for a start. Ooh. Aren't these button bees cold? I nearly got my money back. Now, off with my shirt. Come in. Oh, no. No. I mean, who's that?
Me there.
Oh, me, with my pants in my hat. Please, please go away, madam. Madam, this is a public telephone box. Am I allowed no privacy?
A telephone call. It really is most urgent.
I'm very sorry about that, but I'm busy with trunks. Trunks! How about that? Trunks!
But this is a matter of life and death. It's my little pet bird. He won't talk, and I want to get on to the shop about it.
I'm afraid that you and your budgie will have to wait.
That's not the point. This is a canary.
A canary? Blimey, you're expecting something, aren't you, missus?
No, be quiet. I refuse to wait any longer. I'm coming in.
Madam, madam, you don't know what you're doing. Be careful. Oh, no. Down goes the duffel coat.
You're standing there like that in your... Well, you're practically...
It's perfectly simple, madam. I'm taking part in the London to Brighton walk and I've lost my way. That's it.
This is quite outrageous. I shall fetch a policewoman.
Good. No. Please. If you're going to fetch anybody, make it a policeman. Now what am I saying?
No, it's really not good enough, you know. We girls just aren't safe any longer.
Madam. Madam, come back. Oh, if she does fetch a policeman, I shall have to answer a few questions in this soundproof box. There's one thing, I do know the subject beforehand.
Come along, officer. This way, please. Now then, do your duty.
Hello. What's this thing she's brought with her? It looks like a run-down bookies runner.
Do you mind? My name is Sid Mincy, and I happen to be the proprietor of... No, I'm not. What am I? I haven't got an emporium this week. No, I remember now. I'm Sid Mincing of the CID.
That's all I wanted. Sid from the Sid.
Now, come on out of here. Come along. That's better.
Oh. Will you go away, madam? Please go away. You've got me to enough trouble already.
It's perfectly all right. I'll take over from here.
Mincing. Mincing, please. I can't stand on the pavement like this in my little short shirt. It gets very chilly round the back. End of November. And will you please go away, madam? I'm not a peep show.
All right, come along now.
No.
Let's have your version of this sorry episode, then. However, I should warn you at this juncture that everything you took down will be used in evidence against you.
Well, it's all very simple, Mincing. I merely mistook this telephone box for a bathing hut. I went in there to change.
Yes, you'll have to do better than that. We happen to be 45 miles from the sea.
Do you know, I thought the tide had gone out a long way. Oh, Missy, I can't stand here like this. Good morning, Vicar. Hello, Mrs. Potter. I mean, I've no idea who you are, madam. Mincing, look. Mm. You could at least let me put my coat on. Morning, landlord. I'll never be allowed in this pub anymore.
Yes, well, I wouldn't worry about that. By the time I finish with you, you won't be going into anybody's pub for a long time.
You've got to listen to me, Mincing. You can't charge me.
There'll be no charge. This one's on the government.
I've done nothing wrong. Honestly, Mincing, I haven't. There's a perfectly logical explanation for the whole thing. I was merely changing my clothes in the telephone box because my boss can't stand sports jackets with leather elbows. And if I'd changed at home, I'd have been a penguin like the rest of them. That's what I'm fighting against.
Yes. Well, that little lot should get a titter in court. Well, then let me list the offences. 1, misuse of government property. 2, causing a disturbance of the peace. 3, frightening an elderly member of the community. 4, making false statements.
You're twisting things, Mincing, you flat-footed old fool.
5, using insulting language through a police constable. Right, come along, then. I don't want to have to use my truncheon. I've just polished it.
Madam, will you kindly go away? Standing there doing your knitting.
Yes, you know, with a little bit of luck, I should get you about 15 years.
15 years? How lucky can I get? You're enjoying this minting, aren't you? Yes. You're gloating. Yes. You would have to be a copper this week. I suppose you find it a change from taking car numbers.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Anyway, as I was saying, you should get about 15 years in Holloway.
Holloway? Now what are you giving me, mincing? That's for women.
Yeah. You won't find this unreasonable. Yeah, well, come along. I haven't got all day to wait.
Oh, very well, but at least let me trot. Come on, let's get going.
Ah, good morning, officer. Morning. Good morning, madam.
Sunboots.
Oh, hello. Good morning. Morning.
Why, it had to be. It's Ray. What the devil do you think you're doing, parading the streets in Greek national costume?
It's nothing of the sort. I've simply got my trousers off.
Of course, Ray, of course. I suppose it would have been silly for you to be wearing the Greek national costume. Oh, what a silly old fossil I am. Oh, tell me, officer, tell me before I have the screaming habdabs. What has this buffoon done now?
He went into a public phone box for the sole purpose of removing his nether garment.
Madam, will you go away? There isn't another show till 3 o'clock. Now, Mr. Crumble, mincing, and spectators. I am innocent. This is not my fault.
Of course not, Ray. Of course not. It never is. But I can vouch for this man, officer.
Yes.
I can prove to you beyond all reasonable doubt that this man is a good-living, harmless moron.
Now we are getting somewhere. I knew you'd stand by me, Crumble.
Well, this is your first offense. I can overlook it.
Thank you.
But I might get him another time for something else. It so happens that I have a rather important engagement this afternoon. I'm testifying in court. Last night there was a bit of trouble at the Frog and Nightgown.
I've got an alibi. I was being thrown out of the Rose and Crown.
Sydney is talking. Sydney is talking. Please.
I'm sorry.
When I received this call to go to the local,
yes,
you see,
I do.
Naturally, I took 3 other policemen with me.
Well, what's so natural about that, Mincy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. All right. Come on. Yes. No, evil man. Let's have the last sentence. Why did you need 3 extra policemen to help you when you had that call from the local?
Because... as everybody knows, you always need 4 coppers. You always need 4 coppers for a local call. Good day.
Ted, you've certainly done it this time. Now, you've really let me down, darling. Look at this photograph of you in the local paper. What are you going to do about that?
Well, I've ordered 6 postcard sides. Mind you, it isn't my best side.
That didn't come into it.
I've been trying to tell you all along, dear. I was only undressing in a telephone box. What's so strange about that?
Well, nothing, darling. Nothing at all. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll just slip into my nightie. I've got some shopping to do.
Oh, please, Kitty, don't be like that. I was caught in the web of circumstance. I was not going to let you see me in my office uniform. I've got my pride.
Oh, pride, he says. Ted Ray, you have so humiliated me. Let's face it, it wouldn't have been so bad if you'd been wearing a full-length shirt.
A full-length shirt?
Yes, full-length
shirt. That's all I need from you.
Oh, yes.
A full-length shirt. Now that the shirt's been... Now, listen.
Yes.
So that's my fault, eh?
Uh-huh.
As I remember it, it was your bright idea to remove the tail to make a spare set of cuffs and 2 handkerchiefs. Yes, and I've got a good mind to sue that paper.
Mm-hmm.
I've a good mind to sue the paper for that photograph.
Of course, you fully realize that you've disgraced me at the Women's Institute for the 2nd time now.
Oh, now what's brewing up? What's brewing up the 2nd time? When have I ever disgraced you before?
The day you married me.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You always start the makings of a good row when I haven't got time to go through with it. I've got to get ready for the office in that uniform. Here I go. Wing collar, morning coat, and a bowler. Kitty, will you please stop that? I'm not used to being laughed at.
I'm sorry, my sweet, but I just couldn't help it. But you know something?
What? Here?
Seeing you dressed like that, I'm beginning to like that photograph of you in the paper.
Women, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Now I've got to run the gamut of Endersby Crescent. What a day this is going to be.
There he is, coming to me, sweet.
Get out of it. Get away! Stop following me, you kids! I'm going to run for it. There's three more joining in, and they've got a dog with them. This is terrible. I feel so ashamed. Well, I've made it. I've got to the office. Now I know what Frankie Vaughan feels like. Please, Gloria, not you as well. I've had all I can take for one day. It's Trumbull's fault making me dress like this.
Dress like what, Ray? Ah, yes. I see you've still got your slovenly ways. Do that spat button up at once.
Yes, Mr. Trumbull. Ooh, I don't know why I work for you.
Touché, touché.
All fall down.
Yeah, but quite honestly, Mr. Ray, you look dignified, but simply dignified. Doesn't he, Mr. Trumbull? Oh.
Please, stop it, all of you. Trumbull, I'm warning you. You're pushing me too far. Much more of this, and I shall do something desperate. I'll throw your teapot out of the window.
Oh, come, Mr. Ray. Now, you must calm down.
I will.
Yes. Well, I've just made a nice cup of coffee, so you rest here and enjoy it.
Well, thank you, Gloria. I need this. My nerves are shot to pieces. Now look what's happened. I was shaking so much I couldn't hold the cup. The coffee's gone all over my trousers.
Well, I'll go and get the cloth.
Quick, Ray, you'd better change while Miss Jackson's out of the room.
Oh, that's an idea, Mr. Trumbull. I'll put my trousers over the radiator like this. There.
Oh, Mr. Ray!
Oh, I say, don't
stand there like that. Get out into the passage, quick.
In the passage? I can't.
Get outside, Ray.
But look, I can't. Let me in.
Let me. You can't leave me out here like this.
Yes, it's just as well I kept an eye on you. You're up to your locks again, eh?
Mincing. PC Mincing, look, I'm not up to any larks. Honestly, please, I'm not, officer. Look, I can explain the whole thing. I just happen to have my trousers off.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, and there was I thinking you were back in Greek national costume.
All right, Mincing. All right. I'll come quietly. But if the Greeks did have words for it, I bet they said, I've done it again.
That was Raise a Laugh with Kitty Blewett, Kenneth Connor, Laidman Brown, Rosalind Knight, and starring Ted Ray. The program was written by Bernard Botting and Charles Hart and produced for the BBC by Leslie Bridgman.